Amen. Please be seated. Let's bow for a few moments of prayer for the various needs of the Covenant family. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful to be in your presence this morning, to worship you, and to have the great privilege to intercede with you on behalf of the various needs of your people. We are grateful for answers to prayer, grateful for Sybil's good week, first week on her new job, and ask you to continue to bless her. We pray for those traveling, the group from Grace School, Michael Bertino and the others, that you would keep them safe on their journey. For Matt Fisher as he returns to California today, we pray for Brian and Gloria as they're traveling to Denton right now, and you bless them on their trip. We also lift up the many that are ill, for Landon and Jessica and the family and their illness, for Tony Lee. We pray for others that have battled these respiratory infections or the flu or some variety of illness a lot over the recent weeks, that you would be with each one. We pray, Lord, for Everett as he's feverish as well and has his next scheduled surgery on February 11th. We pray that you would help him to get well by then and be strong and ready for the next stage of the process in working on his ear. We do lift up Jet Moore to you this morning, and as he's had kind of a struggle with an undiagnosed fever that comes and goes and some other health issues. We pray for him and for Heather as they're in Children's in Dallas today, and we pray that they might get some help, along with the visit with the doctor tomorrow in Dallas, that you would just please give them some assistance and direction with his particular needs and just bless that family. We pray, Father, also for Jeff Coates' friend, David Head, whose mom died this week, that you'd comfort him. We think of others who recently lost loved ones and your care for them and their grief and loss. We pray for Kara's friends, the Beard family, who the husband lost his job and with two little ones need another one soon. Pray that you would provide for him. Think of Carolyn as she looks for a job after her internship, and since that's done, that you would guide and direct her in her search as well. Lord, there are many other concerns that come to our hearts and minds as we think about them. We pray that you would meet each need according to your riches and glory, and that each of us would look to you for your grace in our particular moment and time of need. And we ask, O Lord, that you would bless the ministry of the gospel as it goes throughout the world and our community and other parts of our country and our various missionaries that we support, that as they hold fast the word of truth today, you might use them to bring people to a knowledge of Christ, to help Christians grow in their faith and love of you. Bless us here as we look at your word, and may you have us understand its truth for us today. We do thank you, Lord, so much for bringing us together as your people this morning. We would ask that you would bless and hear us as we together unite our hearts and voices in praying the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1, we're nearing the end of this first chapter, this book. Very practical in many ways, and particularly today. And our scripture reading will be from verses 19 through the end of the chapter. James 1, 19 through 27. And following the reading of the word, we'll sing together the Gloria Patri. Please stand together for the reading of God's holy word. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The first chapter of James, as we've been going through it, is addressing us in the whole area of trials and dealing with that and how to make progress and move forward in our Christian lives, even though we're dealing with trials of various kinds. And one of the keys, as it's getting into in this passage we're looking at now, one of the keys of moving forward is the Word of God. In verse 5, he says, if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And God gives us his wisdom in his word and in his truth. The word of God is important in our new birth. And verse 18, he chose to give us birth to the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So the word of God gets us on the path. It is the wisdom along the path. And then last week we talked about the beginning of how do we respond to that word or use that word. And the first thing that's very important is we have to listen to it. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Our minds and ears and hearts need to be open to what the Word of God has to say. We have to hear it. And then, as he said there, we have to receive it. In verse 21, we have to get rid of the things that clog our hearing, that keep us from paying attention to the word. Get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent within you, and humbly receive. Then we have to receive the word. So we have to hear it, and many have their ears closed to it. We have to listen to it. We have to receive it. And now he moves us further. That's not the end. Now we have to do it. We have to put it into practice. We have to live it. The Word of God will not profit you in the way it should unless you take what you hear and what you receive and you put it into practice. Your spiritual life will be stunted. Your spiritual growth will be stunted unless you put it into practice. And he gives us an opening warning, and then he uses an illustration of a mirror to illustrate the right way of following this path, the path of blessing, and then the wrong path, the path of deception. But in verse 22, he warns us about the problem that we often face, and that is we deceive ourselves. He says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And the danger that you and I face, especially if you're very faithful in reading your Bible, and you read it regularly, hopefully maybe daily, is to think, well, that I've done it. There, I've done what I needed to do. I read it. Okay, good. Task number one done for the day. Close it and move on. And what James is saying is, but when we think that way, we're deceiving ourselves. We fill our minds with biblical thoughts, which is a good thing, and we pay attention and try to understand it well. But if it goes no further than that, we're self-deceived in thinking that we've done enough. Yesterday at the men's study, Daniel Carroll mentioned a friend of his who would ask him, "Have you had your M&Ms today?" And of course, the kids are all beginning to salivate. Yeah, I could have a little M&Ms here this morning. That sounds good. But what the M&Ms stood for was meditation, memorization, and meditation. And those are two very good things we need to do with God's Word, is memorize it, put it in our minds, and think about it. And James, to be tried, he would put a D. He would ask, "Have you had your M&M and D this morning, your vitamin D to go along with that?" And that is, not only are you reading, listening, reading, receiving it, memorizing it, and meditating on it, but are you doing it? Are you putting it into practice? He uses this illustration of the mirror, and he begins with the wrong way, the way of deception, the wrong path to face. He says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror." Now, this man begins well. He doesn't criticize him initially. He listens to the word. So he seems to be on the good path. Far different from so many. You know, you have friends, you have relatives, people you know, and I mean, their ears are plugged to the Word of God. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to pay attention to it. They don't want anything about it. They just ignore it. You just cruise Facebook a little bit any day, and you'll just see all kinds of people. And I mean, their minds are closed to God's Word. They don't want anything of its truth. But this man's different. He starts well. He's listening to the Word, and he's looking at himself in the mirror. Now, the mirrors in that day are a little different than our own mirrors. They were a polished metal, usually of some sort, where you could get, you know, maybe not a terrific image, but you could still get an image of yourself. And literally, he says that he looked at his face in the mirror, the face of his birth. We would say the face that God gave him. Can't do much with the face that God gave you. I mean, there it is. He looks in the mirror and he sees himself, and he identifies all his nose, his eyes, his wrinkles, his gray hair, blemishes, everything there. The mirror does not lie. It tells us the truth. And he's looking into that mirror and he sees those things. But he's not going to do what it says. He doesn't like maybe what he sees. There was a story in one of the commentators I look at, of a missionary experience many years ago. It's from the last century. And the missionary out on the field in some bush area had a mirror that he hung in a tree that he would use to do his morning shaving. And one day, the local witch doctor walked by, and she saw her painted, scowling, mean face in the mirror and was appalled at what she saw. And so she begged the missionary for that mirror. She said, I must have that mirror. And he didn't want to give it to her. I mean, it was useful to him. But finally she begged and begged, and she finally got him to, and she was willing to pay whatever he asked. He said, "Well, finally, okay, you can just have it." Well, she took the mirror, promptly threw it on the ground, stepped on it, and broke it into a million pieces. She says, "Now I won't be seeing that face anymore." And that's what happens when we read the Word and we look at it and we don't like that ugly face that we see in the mirror. And we think by smashing the mirror or closing the book that somehow that face has changed. Still there. And the mirror of God's Word shows us ourselves, shows us the depth of our sin. But another thing that God, and part of the reason we're able to see that, another thing the Word of God shows us is, Calvin suggests that the Word of God allows us to gaze on Himself. When we look into the mirror of God's Word, we're not only seeing ourselves as the Word truly describes us, but we're seeing God in all His glory. And that's what brings the conviction of sin to our own lives. That brings us the evaluation that we're not who we ought to be. And those two reflections are essential to you, to redemption. You'll never come to grace, you'll never come to forgiveness if you don't, in the Word, see Him, see God, and see yourself as God describes you. And this man, as I said, he starts well, he looks in there, he's looking carefully. The contrast between him and the man that's blessed is not a contrast between a man who just kind of looks, takes a glance and moves on, and a man who really looks carefully. Both of these men are looking very carefully into that mirror, and they're seeing what's there. And they're paying attention to it. But the contrast here with this first man is, immediately when he leaves, he forgets what he looks like and goes about his business. He closes the book and moves on, and it's something then he ignores what he learned, what he saw. It has no effect on him. His friends can see that he didn't wash his face. His friends can see he didn't use his comb. He didn't brush his teeth. He didn't do any of those things that when we look in the mirror and we see, oh, I better comb my hair, or I better wash my face. He did none of those things. It had no impact on his life. It had no lasting benefit more than just a passing look. And unless you and I follow a different path, we will be like this self-deceived man. And we will not receive the blessing of the Word that God intends for you and I to receive. And so in contrast to that man, the path of self-deception, James gives us the right path, the path of blessing. He says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. So this man begins well again. It's a different word for look, but they both have the same impact. And that is the person's looking into that mirror to see what he looks like. And this man, too, he looks intently into that mirror, that perfect law that gives freedom. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment. And continues to do this. He not only looks at it once, closes the book and says, I'm done. Here's where your meditation and memorization comes in. It doesn't mean that he sits around reading his Bible all day. But what it means is he continues to, some would say he continues in the company of the Word. The Word is his companion. And it's not only that he looks into it and he sees himself, but that Word becomes his companion through the day. He continues in that Word. He perseveres in that Word. And he doesn't forget what he heard, but he does it. He keeps in mind what he heard, and then he puts it up in practice. And this is where we often get tripped up. Maybe it's because we're not exactly how to apply the Word to a particular situation. That's the prayer for wisdom. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's a fear. We're afraid to take the next step of putting into practice what we read that morning. It might change our life. And so therefore change some of our relationships. But for whatever reason, we fail to do what it says, we don't experience the blessing that the Word has for us. We don't receive it, we imperil our own spiritual health when we fail to put into practice that which we've read. The Bible has several different indications of this idea. One of the reasons Jesus said he talked to the Pharisees in parables, even though they revealed clearly spiritual truth, they were still in a way hidden to the Pharisees because they would not look into the word and do what it says. Jesus said to the disciples, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have," and we might here put, "does not do, even what he has will be taken from him. That's why I speak to them in parables, though seeing they do not see, though hearing they do not hear or understand." The other way we can look at it is the parable of the talents. You remember that parable. Jesus said the landowner gave, the owner of the people gave gifts, gave talents to those under his care. Some large amounts, one person only one. And they were to do something with that. They were to put it to work. They were to put it into action. And when the manager came back and he found that the one who had a lot used it, and the one who had a medium number used it, but the one who only had one didn't use it, what he had was taken away. And that's the impact of you and I when we just read the book, close it, and we're done. And we don't put it into practice. We don't act on it. We don't hear what it says and carry it out. And it's not always easy. Think of marriage. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church. That means you got to sacrifice yourself. You got to die. That's not easy. That can be very hard sometimes. But if you read it in the book and close it and don't do it, then you've missed the path of blessedness. Wives, submit to your husbands in the Lord. That's not any easier. That's a tough calling as well. But if you read it and you close the book and you forget about it, then you're missing the path of blessedness that God wants you to be on. This person doesn't do that. He looks into the Word. He continues in it. He continues as his companion through the day. And he puts it into practice in his life. And he receives the blessedness, the benediction of the Lord. He will be blessed if you do them. He's blessed in what he does. You want to receive blessing from the Word of God, you have to put it into practice. Put it into action. But one thing that encourages us to be in the Word is the way he describes the word here in this passage, and I want to come back to that for just a moment. He says, this man looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. So he describes the word in two ways. He first of all says it's the perfect law. And God's law is perfect in two ways. One, it perfectly, well, at least two ways, but one way is it perfectly reveals his character. That would motivate us to be in the Word because there's where we learn the character of God. That's where we truly come to understand who God is and what he has done so that we can follow him, believe in him, trust in him, and know him. So it's the perfect law in one sense because it expresses God's nature and reveals him perfectly. But it's also the perfect law because it's perfectly suited for you and for me. You know, there are a lot of different books you might read and it just doesn't connect. Or it just doesn't apply to your situation. But this book applies to you. It perfectly is suited to you. God addresses it to you. Not everything is alike clear, but everything alike is perfectly suited to you to guide you in your conduct and to guide you in your path of life. And then the second thing that he says is the perfect law which brings liberty, the perfect law of that gives freedom. And that is, and for most people to think of law and liberty, that kind of contradicts each other. But they're missing the point. The law frees us up to be the people God has called us to be. The law directs us in our path and allows us to, as redeemed people, to live in a way that is most free. Most free of guilt. Most free of burdens. Most free to please and honor the Lord our God who saved us. The law is given to those he redeems, not as a means of salvation, but as a way for those who are redeemed to live. To live in a way that frees you from the guilty conscience that burdens you. The way of true life that as one who's created in the image of God allows you to live. So this passage before us confronts us with the fact that we not only need to listen to the word, and so that question is before you. Do you listen? Do you read? Do you pay attention? Understand? Do you receive the word? Are you, by God's grace, pulling out the weeds that would choke that word in your heart? But most importantly, as we've been thinking about today, are you putting it into practice? Are you living it out? Are you trying to apply it to the life that you're living? In that sense, experiencing through that perfect law the freedom of the children of God. May you and I be of those who take the blessed path, the path to true blessing, to hear, to receive, and to obey the word. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for the wonderful treasure of your word to us. And Lord, we come to it and we thank you for it and how it enlightens us and teaches us more of you and teaches us more of ourselves and the path that we should take in our lives. Enable us by your grace and by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and by the help of the Spirit in our lives that we might put these things into practice and so live out the word of truth that you have given to us. May you put us, each of us, on that path of blessedness to experience your great mercy and your great grace and peace. And we ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please turn in your hymnals to